The years that followed Clooney's first ad were Nespresso's happiest. In 2006, its revenues passed £500 million. By 2010, they had reached 3 billion Swiss francs, £2.5 billion, and the capsule market was growing five times faster than the overall coffee market. In Switzerland, Nespresso took business from roast and ground. In China, from tea. In Britain, from instant. Nespresso reigned supreme over an entire domain of coffee that it had effectively created from scratch. As Nespresso kept growing, its pursuit of global homogeneity rubbed up against idiosyncratic national or regional coffee cultures. If you are somewhere that is hot all the time and you've just had a spicy meal, you don't want a coffee that lasts very long, so you have a shot, says Carsten Ranich, Nespresso's head of coffee, as we stood beneath a row of enormous silos in a state-of-the-art production center in the Swiss municipality of Romont. But in Scandinavia, it has another function, to warm you up. The company's market research suggests that sometimes consumers do not know what they actually want. Culturally, Germans like to believe they like strong coffees, but if you give them a blind taste test, they prefer milder drinks and often buy the coffee that isn't the one they prefer. Nespresso's factories are gleaming temples to globalization. Beans are shipped green from all over the world to the facilities in Romont, Orbe, and Avenches. The beans are roasted, ground, and put into capsules between 5 and 6 grams of coffee and 1 gram of aluminium per capsule. On its long journey to the back of your throat, Nespresso coffee is checked for quality more than 40 times, using color spectrometers and a battery of tasters in white coats. In some cases, there is DNA analysis. Ranich told me that many of the tasters are trained in France, a nation where palate is taken seriously as a qualification. After the capsules have been packaged, they are sorted by robots and then sent by train to Antwerp. From there, they are shipped to countries all over the world.